All right. We'll call this meeting to order. And I'm woefully unprepared because Danielle has informed me that I was supposed to do my own work. And so, anyway.
Anybody tell me about attitude?
Yeah, well, I noticed that. I'm a little afraid of her.
Be very afraid.
Who wants to give the prayer? Larry's eating.
I can.
Okay.
Our dear God and Heavenly Father, we're thankful this day to gather as Deer Springs Ranch owners and board and be able to discuss some of the needs here at the ranch. We're thankful, Father, for the day that we've had, for the opportunity to participate in the eclipse, and for the funeral that was held for Bai. We're thankful, Father, for all that does for us, and ask thy guidance as we're trying to discuss the business of the ranch, and help us to all have calm minds and clear thoughts as we're doing these discussions. These things we ask for in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Okay. Roll call. Brent Fulmer, lot 117.
Larry Clarkson, 76.
Scott Kohler, lot 15.
Kate Hoff, 83.
Michael Jordan, 67.
Kevin Poole, 64.
Okay, Sydney Poole, lot 64. Christina Dieter, 18.
Ann Clark, 124.
Bob Becker, lot 4. Serpentina Collins, 121.
Jerry Van Arsdale, 19.
Kurt Jacobs, 90.
Castles, 130.
Dan Wirtz, 28+.
Okay.
Maybe some spot.
Table 212.
Cool.
I'll do the Zoom really quick. Everyone's on Zoom. Keep muted unless you have something to say. I will monitor the chat and bring those comments up to the board if needed. Those of you in the audience, if you wish to speak, please come up to the mic so our Zoom participants can hear you and state your name and lot number before you speak. Minute.
What was that?
Minutes.
Minutes.
Approval of minutes.
That was the board meeting, and we do that the next board meeting.
Yeah,
so we don't have any minutes.
We'll put up provisional minutes on the website, but they won't be approved until next year.
And I haven't got that done yet. So.
Oh, finances. Everything seems to be on target. I know that profit loss sheet looks worse than it is. There was no way to account for the $32,000 that was set aside last year for the cabins. So if you add that back in, we still have operating capital for the remainder of the year, the last 2.5 months. So we're still within budget. I did make some changes in the finances. After doing some research, the $60,000 that we had in a savings account for as long as I've been here, I've moved into CDs. So we're gaining a little interest instead of itty-bitty interest each month. Those have been moved into 6 different CDs, staggered in their expiration. And the other thing I did is take the money from the annual meeting, the auctions that we use to do the annual meetings with, and I put it in a CD, 12-month CD. So each year we'll pull it out, pay for the annual meeting, and put whatever's left back in it. So that keeps that money separate from the rest of the budget. I think that's it. Have any questions?
The $16,000 reservation fee number, what the heck is that?
I don't know exactly which one you're talking about, but we can look at it.
Wasn't that the transfer over from the cabins that were itemized out, Danielle?
Yeah, so that's like
before the reservation system.
We have reservations that are all lumped together, and then in July we'll be pushed over to the Firefly system. We sort of break them per cabin.
That would be the total sum of what we had received for reservations up to that point.
Prior to,
so it's all
smaller numbers broke down by cabin.
Yeah, right. The smaller numbers are what we've received since Firefly has gone online. And as we go into next year, that 16,000, the big lump sum will be gone. And all of the others, we'll see which cabins are being rented more often. And those numbers will fluctuate up and down. So it just broke it out better so that everybody could see what each cabin was costing and what it was
generating
at the same time.
Right.
Right. I guess I'm done if there are no other questions.
That it?
Rupert.
The cattle yard is done, finally. Been posting. Brent and I got the post cut for the entrance. I'm waiting for the cowboys to get done with that thing. Rodent control has been a constant issue in cabins 2 and 4. 2 seems to be under control now, and 4, I don't know. Both cabins are rodent-proof, and we're working on it. Brett and I kicked a few ideas around this morning, and I got a few more. For those of you who store large amounts of water, I would recommend in the next week or so to fill up, because the J-Station season is coming to a close, and so that you may have a heads up to get filled up before or have to use a garden hose again. And that's it. And, we're going to be, you see the playground's been partly disassembled. We're going to be going around with juniper fences as weather permits this winter, and that's going to be the main project. Focus is headquarters and fixing broken posts and fences, making this place prettier next spring.
Is that it?
So, new business. First, the Dan Wirt position.
Dan Wirt, you're up.
Has everybody read that petition?
Yes.
Yes.
Board members have, yes.
Okay.
Does anybody have any questions?
I do not.
So no questions, then I would request that the board adopt those elements as policy. At this point, not intending to incorporate any of that into the bylaws or the protective covenants, but as policy. Just to take one example, there's been discussion about selling the 4 association lots, the policy suggestion in that petition is that it be those sales be approved by 60% of the membership before the board proceeds to sell the lots, and then I think that how that money is used, there has been discussion among several board members about how to structure that. That's a separate issue.
So, Dan, maybe I've got 2 questions maybe for you, just to clarify for my mind. So the one key element on there was the fact that state law already says that the board must hold a vote before selling any of the property, right? So you're asking us to go ahead and incorporate that by policy, because that's not clearly outlined in our bylaws today, right?
It depends on, I've read Title 16 and 17 of the Utah State Code, and so it depends on what you're talking about selling. So, for example, selling association property, I think, falls under Title 17, and which is HOA law. And it looks to me like there are two requirements before a homeowners association can sell association property. And one is a two-thirds vote of the membership, and the second is permission from the local government. In this case, it would be Kane County. But as part of that petition, I've sort of incorporated what I see in Title 17 about selling association property. What is the acreage of our association property?
2020.
So to sell that property, it looks to me like state law says that we would have to have a two-thirds vote of the membership approving and approval from Kane County. I presume for land use regulations. I'm personally not interested in selling or developing association property. But what I'm talking about, what I just brought up previously, was the issue of selling our core lots. And that, I think, would be in the normal course of business and not subject to Title 17. But in my opinion, even though the board has the power to sell those four lots without consulting the membership, I think the membership should be consulted on that also. And so then I thought, well, what should the membership threshold be for selling those four lots? And at first I thought, well, should it be two-thirds? Should it be 50%? And I settled on 60%, and I've asked a number of people on the alternate Facebook site for their input, and I didn't get any input. And so I just settled on 60%, and I talked to Brent about it. And so if others have, if the board or the membership or people here have another idea about what that threshold membership approval should be, you know, by all means, say something. But I think that the four lots could be sold by the board in the normal course of business. But in my opinion, it should be subject to approval of the membership, and I chose a 60% threshold. What were the other issues in that petition
So that was one issue, and then the second issue was that you wanted us to reaffirm that we weren't going to enter into agreement with Deer Springs Ranch LLC, right? Those were the two items.
That if Deer Springs Ranch LLC submitted a contract to the board, I think that contract should be subject to membership approval as well. Now, I think the board would have the power to negotiate and approve a contract. It's just that I think that given the controversy that the membership should be consulted. even though the board has the power to negotiate and approve contracts. What else? Oh, there's been some concern about the executive portion of board meetings, and I think it would put minds at ease if the members knew what was being discussed, just the general subjects about what's being discussed in executive session, not the details, just subjects. And that be in the recorded in the minutes.
Well, by HOA law, executive meetings, so the private meetings that they do behind closed doors, is only supposed to be for budgetary items and employment.
Contract. Yeah.
Nothing else is supposed to be.
Or sensitive items for members might impact members that way. So it's a little bit hard to disclose everything that's there, but that's, yeah.
That's HOA law. That's what's only supposed to be closed doors.
Right. It's restricted. Restricted. And I don't think it would not violate anybody's rights if the membership at least just knew what subjects were discussed and if that was recorded Another issue is the issue of special meetings and how they're called and how they're conducted. And this has been a concern of mine and I think others in the past because that process has been abused in the past. And such that the membership, I think, was not fully informed about special meetings. So my idea is that if there are special meetings, such as a special meeting to change the proxy voting procedures, the notice should be given to the membership in the same way that notice is given for an annual meeting, and that be conducted on paper ballots sent out to the membership. Obviously, you would not want to call special meetings very often because it's expensive and time consuming to recapitulate the annual meeting procedure of sending out paper ballots. And one thing that might be a special meeting might be called to is the proxy voting system that is currently specified in the bylaws. Currently, my understanding is that proxy voting is in an HOA is optional. And personally, I'm not against proxy voting. And changing the bylaws would be to completely get rid of proxy voting would be somewhat difficult because proxy voting is mentioned many times in the bylaws. So it would require sort of a major revision of the bylaws. But what could be done is something less than getting rid of proxy voting, and this could be done by changing one area of the bylaws. And that would be the proxy votes must be submitted on the official ballot. Because there's been concern that newer members might not understand that proxy voting via a Clarkson LLC is not coming from the DSROA. It's coming from Clarkson LLC. So that change could be made in the bylaws, and it could be the subject of a special meeting. The change in the bylaws, relatively easy because it would only require a change in one place in the bylaws.
So, not to cut you off with that, but so my proposal just to the board in general and to everybody else, and maybe I'll make this as a motion, was we've identified several items in the bylaws that need to be reviewed and revitalized and done. And back to your point, a special meeting would need to be held and a vote taken or something along those lines. So I would like to propose that a committee be formed to review the bylaws and make recommended changes to bring back at some point in time. It's a hefty thing to get everybody to go through and discuss all the stuff that needs to be done there, but to be able to recommend some of those specific changes that need to be made and bring those back to the board for an actual, or back to the members for an actual vote. So
you obviously then have identified other
problems. Other items. The board has together, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that should be the committee then.
Yeah. Well, there's obviously members, too, that might want to participate and can provide feedback, because not everybody on the board wants to spend the time going through line by line, but I think there's other members, too, that have feedback and input that can hopefully come to the board with a good recommendation to say, these are items that need to be changed and updated, and then presented for a vote and discussion at that point.
The only place that I've concentrated on is this issue of proxy voting. I'm not very aware of the problem.
Gotcha. Well, just to give a couple of examples of some other areas that we found just while we're discussing it, but right now there's an unclear definition on what is a director in the association. It lists employees and board members and others, and it's just kind of confusing as far as that's concerned. I think there's a couple of, I have to go back to our notes on some of the items that we identified related to that, but I think there needs just to be some clarification. And I wouldn't mind heading up the committee from the board representative perspective if we wanted to get some more member volunteers that we could bring it back to the board. But Brent, I don't know if you want to do a motion for that and do that, or what do we need to do in order to address Dan's
proposal this point? Things. Number one is I'm going to have to give this more thought. After my discussion with you up at your lot, I've kind of had a paradigm shift in my thinking, and I believe that Deer Springs Ranch is a member-driven organization, and I completely agree that the members should be driving what's going on. Okay, as far as the Clarkson LLC thing, that was pretty well decided at the meeting. The members decided that was rejected. I personally don't believe the board needs to make a promise that we're not going to enter into an agreement, because the members have already decided we can't. That's the way I'm looking at it. As far as selling the association lots that are already currently subdivided and all that, I believe that we should use the 2/3 because it's still association property. As our guideline, as far as it goes. And I don't think we should deviate from that. I think it'd be easier.
But if we want to have a, if we want to have a motion as far as you want to have a motion to form a committee, is that what you're
for the bylaws? Yeah, because I think the fall and winter are good times to get people together and maybe discuss stuff online and get some members' input for the bylaws and maybe address some of Kurt's or Dan's concerns related to that and address some of the other items as well and try and clean everything. Because I have a hard time doing things piecemeal. If we're going to do a vote for everything, I think we need to vote once and for all and try and get things.
Well, I don't want to go. I don't want to go out of order. But were you going to present your just well, go over your items that you all 23 or whatever it is?
I don't have all of the items listed. I wasn't prepared to go over each one of those. So.
All right. So, how many people here? By show of hands. Who would be interested in serving on a committee in which we review the bylaws? And okay.
That one over here, Brent.
Behind you.
Oh, okay. So we got four. We got at least four. We'll put it out to the membership. And, Cade, you'll lead it up.
I'd be glad to do that.
Okay. So
if the board's okay with forming that committee.
Make a motion.
I make a motion to form the committee to review the bylaws and bring that back to the board for a possible vote.
I second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Just a side note, I can always send out member surveys very easily, asking for input on bylaws to add, bylaws to remove.
You need to identify them first, but that'd be good. Appreciate that.
Oh, Brent? I think the issue is, I agree with the policy of having a member driven governance. But we have a board for a reason, and it's to sort of manage. I'm not sure the two-thirds threshold of the membership for selling the poor association lot is the best threshold. So, like I said, and this was a feature of the brief, the Clarkson LLC brief. Which I think Barry was heavily involved with. Selling those lots is different, I think, under the law, under state law, than selling association property. Because those lots are already developed and can be sold like a backhoe could be sold in the normal course of business. That's why I suggested a different threshold of membership approval for that.
In the past, haven't we, the board sold lots that get funding for the year?
Yeah, what? There have been lots sold, but they were not. The four that we're talking about right now are four original. They are the only four original DSROA owned platted subdivision lots. The other lots came into ownership of the association by different courses. They were like your lot or my lot. They were lots for sale, and for whatever reason, DSROA ended up owning them. Own and sell. These four are kind of a different animal, but they are, like Dan said, they are different than the rest of the common acreage.
So I'm not sure I see the distinction between those four lots and other lots that the DSROA has sold in the past. Except the historical fact that they were among the original lots?
Part of it is location. Part of it is water. Part of it is intended purpose. Why were those four points selected? What was to be built there then or now or in the future? Or are we still following?
And Dan, just to kind of my personal interpretation, I think maybe the board needs to do a little bit more investigation on this, but common area. So if they're designated as common area for the ranch, I think back to his point that they've kind of been designated as common property to some extent. And so back to your point, what process should we go through if we do want to sell them? I think that needs to be evaluated and agreed upon and clearly defined. But, and there's also obviously a difference. The board just sold a trailer, that was property of the SROA, but we didn't put that out to the whole, or that wasn't put out to the entire membership in order to sell the trailer. So there is a distinction between the two, and I'm not.
It wasn't put out,
it wasn't put out as should we or shouldn't we. It was.
If you want to buy it.
If you want to buy it. Yeah, it was put out as.
It's not real estate anyway. What you're talking about
is real estate and land. Yes.
That's something entirely different.
And Jeff Mickelson just made a comment that the four lots do not have memberships associated with them, so they are treated as
common area that way. Yeah, so a lot of the other lots that were sold, would, like if we had to foreclose on a lot for lack of doing dues or something like that, would be a way to get where the DSROA would own the lot and turn around. So I think you've got different scenarios, and those may need to be clearly defined. But I think the one commitment I can make, and I made that when I ran for the board, was we would not sell even the subdivided lots without consultation and a plan for the funds, et cetera, to the board. So, I mean, I'm comfortable making that commitment as a board member myself, but I don't know. Beyond that, I think we need to have a little bit more, codify some of that stuff if we want to actually and check into state law. Because I almost interpret the state law to say, those are common area and would require the two-thirds vote the state law requires.
I think that it depends. It depends on the plat maps. Is the
and platted? They're not platted as common area currently today. So I can see where you're. I think we need to get clarification on that.
I'm a little confused though, because isn't the threshold that you're trying to set to sell those four lower than?
Two-thirds, yeah.
Right. I went back and forth. At first I thought, well, let's make it two-thirds. And then I thought, well, maybe it should just be 50%.
Because you're...
I talked to Brent, and the suggestion was 60%. So, I'm
But not, you're setting it at 60 because in your mind you're saying that it the board would have the authority to sell them without even consulting the membership, the way one set of...
That's my non-legal expert opinion.
Interpretation of them. Because they don't constitute a big enough portion of the common ownership asset. I mean, there's a threshold.
He doesn't know where the threshold is. But what he's saying, the threshold is that on the platted map, they're not platted as common area on the platted map.
It looks to me that Title 17 of the
doesn't apply,
which is HOA law, says if the HOA wants to sell association land, that it requires a two-thirds vote of the membership and approval by the county government.
But that may not apply to those four because
they're plotted.
They're not plotted as
and that's also the message I'm getting from reading Barry's legal brief. He actually separated those issues out on two contiguous pages. And so I think that that those four lots are association property could be sold in the course of normal business.
So I think that's something we need to verify and figure that out before we make a full decision on it. And so can we maybe, can I take that as an action? Would that satisfy you for the next meeting to come back and verify that distinction and then make a plan based off of that. I've got a couple legal contacts that I can work through that, and real estate advice. Real estate that I can reach out to and have them see if they can clarify.
If people wanted a two-thirds threshold, I wouldn't object to that.
You just wanted to make sure that they fall under that and that we couldn't. I mean, right now the board, I think, is willing to commit based on the vote that was done, and maybe I shouldn't speak for the board, but based on the vote that was done previously, they wouldn't necessarily sell those without consultation. So I don't know how much more time we need to spend on.
Well, he's saying is to adopt the policy.
Mostly related.
Because that's this board.
Right.
It's not the next board. The next board could say.
But the next board really could throw away the policy, too.
The bylaws say we can do it, so we're going to do it.
Well, but the only way to fix that is going to be to fix the bylaws and do it correctly in the bylaws and have those clearly identified in the bylaws so there's no question in the future. So I think our bylaws committee can take that as one of the action items as well and try and get it done. I don't know. Because if you're trusting this board not to sell without consulting us, that's essentially the policy, right? I don't know.
So even if we voted for this policy outright as this board in 11 and a half months, 12 months, the new board can throw that policy away and say it was just a voted policy, and we're going to vote to say we don't care about this anymore.
That's correct.
So I'm hoping that a change in the bylaws to make these things more clear would be a better solution than
changing the bylaws. I would not object to doing that. It's just a tougher nut.
It is
to crack.
I know that. I know that I will not be selling any association land without member involvement. So if that's the commitment you're looking for.
You got it from two of us.
You got it from two of us at least.
You can easily make that three.
Or four.
there's your story. So, you know, it is, to Brent's point, it is a member-driven organization. And I wholeheartedly believe that as well.
I'm particularly interested in having a very formal, defined plan for any special meetings because there's been problems in the past.
So I'd like to talk to you about those two because I think those are fairly well defined in the bylaws, and I would want to know what the problems were that you had with them in the past.
Well,
but,
you know, when I read that part of the bylaws, I get confused.
Okay. So that's... Again, in the interest of time, what's that?
Committee will be formed.
Yeah,
I can commit to you, Dan. I'm not in favor of any meetings, whether they're special or not. If there's any way possible I can get out of a meeting,
okay.
I'm out.
Let's head to the gravel pit policy.
Yes.
So, are we done with this?
I'm good. If Dan's good.
Okay. So, gravel pit, Larry.
So the gravel pit policy kind of comes back to one of the items that was on Dan's proposal or proposition in the wording that one of the items that you wanted put in was that the board of directors of DSROA will not sell or lease, with exception of grazing leases, any common property. So during the past year, currently, I have sort of been leasing the gravel pit. Simply because our budget was $6,000 short, and so I volunteered to say, I'll pay a $6,000 lease on the gravel pit to make our budget balance. As of yet, I haven't paid that lease because we haven't finalized or formalized anything. Cindy, as a past president, and I were going to get together and come up with something, and we just haven't done it. The gravel pit policy that's written in the policies and procedures is completely non-functional.
and is completely misunderstood and interpreted by most members, and so there's confusion still as to what is our gravel pit policy, what can we get, what don't we get. So, to make everybody understand, Deer Springs Ranch technically does not own any of that gravel. The BLM does. We own the location that is accessible for that gravel. So every scoop of gravel that comes out of there has to be paid for to the BLM. Everything that's come out of that pit for the past 2 years, I've paid for personally. Every scoop that went on anybody's lots, on any ranch roads, any project. So I have a little bit of heartburn saying I'm willing to pay for a lease. I'm willing to pay the permits and the fees, but we're not going to lease anything, any common land, which that is, that's a piece of common land. So, and I know you probably didn't have any that in the back of your mind at all, different than a grazing lease. So there's.
I didn't even consider that, but obviously we should make that exception as well. A grazing lease.
I think there's a lot of things on the ranch that have to be thought out, and if it makes sense, or if there's objection, let's voice them and figure it out. How do we make it work? How do we do? What do we do? Anyway, gravel pit policy from this point kind of going forward, what I'm working toward is to make the gravel pit safe. There have been times, even now, but there have been times over the past years that it wasn't safe for people, vehicles traveling through. I've been a little hesitant to move forward with some of my ideas simply because I do not want to be responsible or liable for injury or death or something occurring there, and that's very possible. A year and a half ago, 2 years ago, we talked about and drew up designs to create a bypass. Brent and I have actually talked about it for probably 5 years, making Meadow Canyon go straight through instead of looping down off the hill and through the middle of an operating pit. I have personally whittled away at that little bit by little bit as we've developed not only the pit area but also the slash pile area. Those two things sort of became part of my board responsibility a year ago and 2 years ago to manage and babysit the pit and babysit the slash pile. The BLM changed their policy. At one point, they were allowing the ranch, DSROA, to get gravel out of there without paying their royalty fee as long as it was going on ranch roads. That changed because we had other neighbors in the county whining and complaining that, hey, they're getting special treatment. They're not having to pay, and we are. That's against the law. And so last year they started making us, even if it goes on a ranch road, it has to be bought from the BLM. In addition to paying the BLM, one of the policies has been that the ranch should receive, is entitled to receive, a reclamation fee, and it was set at equal to the BLM fee. Right now, that's 80 cents per cubic yard. Not a huge amount, doesn't kill anybody, but it hasn't been collected for years and years and years and years on anything that's been done. So currently, I'm paying the fee to the BLM. I would be paying DSROA either through a lease arrangement or per yard. The lease arrangement is much, much better because it's a lot more money to DSROA than 80 cents per cubic yard. You have a question, I can tell.
So I don't know. I don't have enough legal expertise to be able to say for sure. But I suspect that even a grazing lease on the association property would fall under Title 17 and require two-thirds vote of the membership and approval by Kane County. But I am certainly not opposed to ignoring that and not try to go through that process for the grazing lease on the association property. And as you now brought up, and I had not considered a lease with regard to the gravel pit. You know, I'm not interested in engaging Kane County, and I don't think it's necessary to engage two-thirds of the membership for the grazing lease and a gravel pit lease. Although the board might decide that the membership should be consulted regarding a grazing lease. The grazing lease. Actually, I have some questions about the grazing lease, and I tried to contact Phil Hall, because his name is on that lease, and to ask him some questions, but he has not responded to me yet. So I don't know. I don't feel really strongly about consulting the membership on those sorts of leases on association land, although other people might have different.
I think that the board should always be sensitive to, I mean, if something really bugs somebody and they bring it up, obviously a board should pay attention to that and try to satisfy or at least answer what is your concern? Why do you have that concern? This is how we view it. Do we understand each other? Do we agree? Do we disagree? How do we move past it to keep the peace as best we can?
Just since we're talking about association land and leasing, let me tell you a couple questions I had about the grazing lease. I love the longhorns. I really like them. They are quintessential Western United States. But my questions are, and I would want to see, for example, the Ballards and the ranch have a relationship that benefits both. But I don't know a lot, and I'm actually going to try and learn about it. What are the economic considerations that should be balanced between the ranch and the operators, the Ballards, so that we can both get a good deal and maintain what I think is a spectacular visual resource for DSROA, the Longhorns. I think they're great. I'm willing to go through that process as sort of a learning process with myself and the board, you know, about what happens with the next grazing lease, which is 4 years away. It's a 10-year lease, and it's 4 years.
That there's 4 years left on the current lease.
Yeah. Believe me, I'm not interested in getting Kane County involved.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I agree with your interpretation on the leases and different things that way.
We are able to do certain things and operate. Here's my view of how that part of that clause of the Kane County, if it's legal in Kane County, we're able to do that. If it's legal to conduct that kind of business in Kane County, It's not that we need to submit a plan to Kane County to say, we want to sell this piece of land, we need your blessing. Is it legal in Kane County to sell land? Yes, we're good. Is it legal to graze cattle in Kane County? Yes, we're good. Unless there's something that...
There's this word that I would call from the Title 17, and it's encumbrance. And selling land is not the only way to encumber. Leases, for example, are.
Yeah, I think we need to look into that a little bit. I'll help give some clarification on leases, encumbrances, whatever, on the land and make sure we're in. Again, that's back to the bylaws. The bylaws need to be in confirmation with state law.
I strongly think what I feel with a high degree of certainty is that to sell the association meeting would require not only 2/3 vote of the membership, but approval by Kane County because of the land use, the zoning and the land use.
You're changing the subdivision, so they require you to get the subdivision recorded and updated and all of that kind of stuff related to that. But
to conform with building codes and so forth. I don't think it's necessary for a gravel pit lease or for a grazing lease.
There's probably something good to check, and I think we can check it. But what I'm hearing from you is there's no objection to him or the board considering a lease to Larry for the gravel pit.
No, I think Larry should continue to pay all of those fees. You're right.
Anyway, I know.
I just want to just throw in, one of the reasons why, and it was my brainstorm that put Larry in the gravel pit, and it was because there was no confirmation that the gravel fees were being paid to the BLM. And so that just kind of brought everything, that area needed somebody to spearhead it, and Larry was pretty much the obvious.
In the past, Kurt, and I'll disagree with Larry here.
I know you do.
I emailed my fee receipt to Mariah and to Jennifer.
Over the past 15 years, there's been about 4 people that paid a fee to the BLM for gravel. And I guarantee you there's more than 4 people that have taken gravel.
Yes, but I mean, I have no objection to this, Larry, and you and I have talked about this. No, I have no objection to it. I just want to make sure that the members don't lose the opportunity to use the gravel under your lease.
Right.
That's only concern.
Like I said,
Larry's a little more generous than the previous.
my long-term goal in my mind, and whether it's me or anybody else that goes in there and operates a pit, is to provide the different necessary products that people at Deer Springs need. I decided to do it a couple of years ago simply because I was spending $25,000 to $30,000 a year buying leach rock and road base from Brent Robinson, which I don't mind buying it from him. It's actually still to this day, this last week, I trucked in a bunch of leach rock because it's cheaper as long as the road doesn't beat your equipment to pieces.
Yeah.
But as many of you know, most of the time that road is going to beat your equipment to pieces. So I thought I'll put together stuff and be able to produce leach rock and large riprap cobble, small road base, bigger road base, clean rock to go around cabins, whatever, and obviously offer those things that I have time and investment, diesel and equipment invested into. I will have to charge to recoup that, but I will still make available somebody like Michael that wants to take his tractor and dig out of the bank and pay the 80-cent BLM fee and the 80-cent, what I have really done is said, okay, it's not going to kill you if it's a dollar. In order for somebody to go up there and scoop out of the pit, most people don't have a tractor that's even capable of scooping it out of the raw virgin cliff. because it's pretty hard. If I've spent time with one piece or another of equipment to push that down and keep it sloped and safe so it's not going to cave in on somebody, I've got at least a little investment into it. So my plan was to probably offer, if you want to pull in with your little red wagon and get it, or shovel it with your Kubota or whatever you've got, it's going to be $2, which covers the BLMP, 80 cents, and I make 20 cents, and Deer Springs Ranch per yard is supposed to be getting 80 cents, which they're receiving through me on the lease. Unless I exceed taking 6,000 cubic yards, which we've done quite a bit of work this year, and we just barely exceeded the 1,000-yard mark. I'm into my second 1,000-yard permit with the BLM.
That heavy equipment, is that you?
Yes.
And is it true you're not getting any return on that?
As of yet, I haven't seen any return.
You had a nice loss this year.
Yeah.
Nice what?
Loss, damage to equipment. But so just to clarify, Larry, so right now the lease that's proposed is $6,000 a year that you would pay to DSROA.
Yes.
And you would have full rights there, and then if anybody's wanting to purchase from the ranch, they contact you.
Right.
You would offer different products. One product would be an area they can just go scoop and fill at $2 or whatever.
Yep.
And then you'll have other products at different prices that are more
obviously
processed.
If something's run through, if you run it through just the cheap, easy screen that we've got, that means a loader's got to dig it out of the cliff, run it through the screen. It takes 12 scoops run through the screen to create one scoop of screened product. And all that extra, the other 11 scoops, is overburden, that's waste, and that's the best material.
That's
the good stuff. That's what Michael comes in here. Because that's got the rock in it. It's not just the dirt and clays and silt and topsoil and weeds. That's what should be going on our roads to make them last longer. But
so,
that's got to go through a crusher, and as of yet, I mean, there's a pretty sizable chunk of investment in different tractors and machines all sitting there. And
so my only concern, again, and hopefully this alleviates the concern, but I haven't known a clear and easy process to come and get whatever material. So hopefully leasing it would allow us to have a clear process of meeting you there to come and get material or do whatever.
Right.
Along those lines, but I don't have any, I mean.
Well, for instance, Michael hauled 15 yards yesterday. Mm-hmm. I said, it doesn't make sense for you to drag your tractor down here and load it.
Right.
Mine's sitting there. Just use it and keep yours up there to spread. And he did his own thing. I didn't need to be there to babysit him, but I was at least able to give him some direction, and he's done it enough. Other people may not have the ability, and
we'll have to make arrangements with you to fill it up.
And me or Brent or Kurt or somebody, we can make it happen. Long-term vision, I see that we would be producing something there, and it may turn into something that would employ one or two people a couple of days a week for 2 or 3 months of the season, you know, when we're producing stuff that could be available for people to use.
If you're selling enough of it to justify doing that. So, again, just to the advantage to the ranch doing 6,000 is we don't have to keep track of the BLM fees because you're paying that and keeping track, making sure that we're kosher with BLM. And then two, we're getting a guaranteed 6,000.
Yeah.
Versus nobody
managed.
I think
probably the highest year ever of any Deer Springs Ranch receipt, the reclamation fee, I'll bet you does not exceed $100. I think Collins probably paid the most ever, and what'd you pay Deer Springs for the gravel you got once upon a time?
Nothing, hardly anything.
$25, $15.
We got a 30-yard permit from the BLM, so we paid Mariah.
And you paid the BLM that, and then you paid Mariah?
Mariah, 30.
$30.
We took 10.
So I've done 30 a year for the past 4 years. I mean, the 15 this year is so far, but 30 a year. So, I mean, that's nothing. When I started, it was 50 cents a yard.
So, to me, to simplify and clarify the process so people don't have to go to BLM, get the permit, do whatever they need to.
The BLM kind of got aggravated and didn't. They just said, we don't want to deal with
100 people coming
through. 5, 6, 10, 15, and not know who, what, and where. And so they, if somebody walks in today and tries to buy a permit on our pit, they will not sell it. Unless James Holland.
Unless you're on his list.
Yeah.
You got to be on his list. He makes it hard.
So, again, do we have a motion, or what does the board need to decide on this? Are you just informing us?
I'm just kind of informing you because there have been some questions. This all started partially 2 years ago. The gravel pit was somewhat under John's responsibility as roads, but it was a little overwhelming because he had no ability to do anything. And so he said, you take that and babysit it, and you deal with the other two or three people that are in and out of the pit. So I did, and then just this year was when I said, you know, our budget's short. The gravel pit should be producing some income to Deer Springs. There are people that take gravel from the pit, and the ranch is not receiving anything, and they should. So I will lease it, even though it doesn't pencil out right now at $500 a month. It really should. It justifies it. It's a valuable asset for the ranch. If I could get up and running the way I want to, it would still save me money
for the other project
to not be paying the neighbors and still having to truck it an extra 11 miles on beat up roads if I can get it right here close where I need it.
So what needs to be updated on the policy then? We have to update.
The policy is completely. The policy is it's way written in the policies and procedures. It just doesn't even make any sense.
I think we need to get that revamped and then publish the website with whatever fees you're going to charge and go from there. But so that's the only action the board needs to take at this point in time and maybe formalize the list. Source. Yeah, let's
do it.
I'm good with that.
Well, Larry, you're going to write up a new policy and...
That's kind of like a meeting.
It's so good to be president.
Yes, okay. I will.
Then we can bring that to a vote. Okay.
All right.
No, I think Larry's got to get more stuff put together, and then we'll vote on it, right?
Okay, yeah. So that works.
Road sign project.
Which one?
Road sign. So that's me. So just throwing it out there, we'll make this quick. Jeff supposedly left me the road signs.
By the gate.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to get those, and we'll come up with a plan to start getting those put out. There was Scott, that I'm trying to contact that was going to help make some more signs. Haven't been able to make contact with him, but I'll try. Maybe Danielle, I can get a phone number or email or something from him and try that route.
What are you talking about?
He works for
Young Electric Sign.
Yeah. So I reached out to him on Facebook, but didn't get a response there. So if we can get an email, then we can do that. So that's just one of the projects we're trying to start with the roads. Probably won't get any other than starting to collect the signs and get those ready. Probably won't get that done before the snow flies.
They wrote a sign committee.
He was heading that committee up. So we want to get started on that. I'm still documenting the actual roads and where, and I need to get with Larry just to verify where some of those are at, and we'll get that working. And then I think my other update was Scootapa. Larry and Brent can probably give a better update. Or not Scootapa. The Broad Hollow project. So the Broad Hollow project is complete. Finally done. But
it's
mostly done.
It's done, but ranch roads will never be done.
Understood.
But we kind of ran out of
funds
and time and material, and so we still have to work out some details.
So I guess the only thing that, and Brett, I don't, we need to discuss that in this meeting. What's the resolution with the Broad Hollow homeowners? Is that a different agenda topic, or do we need to
Well, I thought it was going to be discussed here. It's, you know, entirely up to you guys. We have, let's see if these, the official number right now is, we have private donations of $15,000 that came from various members of the Broad Hollow community and somebody from Juniper Hills. And
those are commitments. They haven't all been paid yet.
All right. Okay. You've got most of that, but no. Some of it that's been has not been paid.
All this is Juniper Hills.
Yeah. We know the offending party, and we're going to send somebody out to get it.
We don't mind throwing him under the bus. I'm giving him praise at the same time.
So anyway, the question comes back to the board had said that they would provide $2,000 towards fuel expense. Okay. And,
I think that should include oil. Because the vehicles use the oil as well as the fuel.
Okay, well.
Well, they had questions when we did it over in Johnny Brown when we brought up, well, we use this much hydraulic oil also, and then some of them really had a heartburn over that, so.
Well, what we were looking at, and at the time when we put all this together, we didn't have any idea, you know, that we're getting down to the end of the budget, so Michael will have to tell us where we are. Money-wise speaking, in relation to what we still have left in the road budget, and
so I guess my recollection is a little different than others because it was $2,000 towards the project, which included fuel, gravel, the screened gravel that was already there, that was already paid for by DSROA, and it was a combination not to exceed that $2,000 mark of those materials, and I understand that at some point the Broad Hollow folks were told they couldn't use the equipment, and I wish that would have been brought back because, you know, that might have changed my vote on this, and that wasn't brought back. So, you know, and I was clear when we had this discussion is how much gravel was used of the screened. How much gravel was used? Because that's $6.70 is what we paid Pierce to screen it as a community. You know, how much of that gravel, and does that equate into the part of
the number? Commitment to begin with was not no gravel, and the intention of the Broad Hollow and me as doing most of the work there was not to use. And so the understanding is right now that will either be paid for or be replaced. Because that's not.
That wasn't part of the original agreement.
Free. Correct.
Well, actually, that's not entirely true. Because during the board meeting, John Harris said that DSROA could provide gravel over the next couple of years for that project. The problem was that pile's been sitting there for over a year. We're coming into winter. We see that pile just sitting there over winter while we're struggling with muddy roads or trying to screen gravel or something like that. So what's wrong with using some of it this year?
The gravel was
in the next couple of years.
I'm not complaining about it. The gravel was put to good use. That's not my complaint here. As treasurer, my complaint was a request for a $2,000 check without knowing where it's going. I mean, yes, it goes to the bigger overall project, but Cade coming in at Rhodes, John was in Rhodes for 15 years. Cade coming in on Rhodes, if he doesn't have a breakdown of what something's costing, how is he going to project next year? How are we going to budget next year? And that was my biggest request when this started, was that we itemize out and we do our best, not necessarily to stay within a budget, because I know that we under budget everything, but at least let's try. For future, how are we going to budget the next one? What are we doing with the next one? And this was a prime one to keep track of. We knew where it was going. We all could see the results.
Well, I have it tracked. I mean, I can tell you to the dollar what I have into it. And
that's the only way we could do it, is if he kept records.
And the thing to help the membership understand, and Kate is a new road guy, and the board and budget, the Deer Springs Ranch road budget has absolutely nothing to do with something like a Broad Hollow Road project. So our road budget is a bare bones maintenance, keep the ruts knocked down once, maybe twice a year, and make sure there's no big washouts. That's it.
So, maintain your equipment.
So, and I'm going to just throw this out. And maybe I could have done this a month ago, and we could have resolved this, and it not been an issue. But, Larry, I have no problem if you want to build a ranch for $2,000 for that piece that we said we would do, because you've done all the work. I get that. And you need to be paid for it. I've been a strong proponent of you being paid for the work you do here, not doing it for free. But I struggled with
not knowing where it's going and why and what, yeah.
Not only that, but I also, and I'm not going to call anyone out or say any names because it doesn't matter, but I struggled with what happened in Johnny Brown the same way. A member saying, I want a check. I was promised this.
Yeah.
And there were other people involved in that whole process. And that was my concern, is I just...
Well, and to kind of sort of defend the Johnny Brown or the Broad Hollow Coalition, even though I really don't like most of them, they had good intentions and wanted to do something, needed to do something, because several of them are full-time members coming in and out.
Absolutely.
And I felt bad that they came to the board saying, this is what we want to do. Can you help, or are you willing to help? And I almost got the feeling that we as a board, instead of saying, well, here's what we can do, we all said, no, and you can't do it. And that's not really exactly what was said, but that was kind of the feeling. And then what can we do to deter you and slow you down? In their defense, I have done in Broad Hollow probably 10 times what they thought they were getting into.
Yeah.
You think?
And part of that is just me. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it right.
You're right.
Or I won't do it, period. If I have to pay for it, I'll do it right. So right now, I mean, I could go through and add up my... And this is, right now I have $11,350 into equipment hours alone at $50 an hour. Now you find anybody on the planet that'll run a dozer, a loader, a big track hoe, a small track hoe, or a mini, even the smallest piece of equipment I've got, you're not going to find anybody that will rent that and run it for $50 an hour.
I tried to pay you $150 an hour for the culverts and you turned me down.
Okay. So... I mean, I have to the exact amount of how much pit run gravel we put on Broad Hollow.
How much is that?
815 cubic yards of pit run.
I was going to guess 1,200.
815. How many yards?
700 screened DSROA. Expensive.
See, and I thought there was 600 left, so 700 is...
700 is what we hauled.
Yeah.
I hauled some down here for Kurt and spread. But of the 1,000 cubic yards that Brad Pierce produced for the ranch, 700 of it we hauled on Broad Hollow.
Okay, now this is where I want to get involved in all of this, because I went back and listened to all of the audio from the three different board meetings that this was discussed in. I also reviewed the emails back and forth between Cindy and Brent on the 16th of March and 17th of March. It was clear from the audio in February that there was no budget for the Broad Hollow project. And the Broad Hollow Coalition took it upon themselves to double the width of the road for most of it, which doubled the expense of the project for most of it. The gravel was clearly earmarked for Meadow Canyon between the Broad Hollow and the cattle guard. Was supposed to be done before Broad Hollow got all that gravel.
So the pit run fine, but the 700 yards of material that was earmarked for a road repair for the ranch that never happened, and then another 197 yards, according to Michael Jordison in one of the audio, was for this parking lot right here, which is infrastructure, which is my area, that's not going to get done at this point.
And that
did get done. Who is to be responsible for all of this material that was used on a project that was clearly given no budget for?
That your part has already been hauled and spread.
So this part was,
this was already done.
So that was 197 yards that went in here?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, if that got done, that's awesome. I saw some gravel had been put in here. I didn't know how much, but if it's there, perfect.
Like three loads with two trucks or three trucks.
Well, and a lot of the stream gravel was put on Meadow Canyon, right? You didn't take as much of it up, or you didn't take it.
Nothing. You
just graded Meadow Canyon.
The problem was like Jeff said, that material was produced in June of 2021. And it's set there in a pile from June 2021 until September of 2023.
And was going to continue to
set. So if it's a heartburn to anybody, it'll be back there in a pile next week.
So,
and you can put it wherever you want it, but I guarantee you it's still going to be sitting there in September of 2024.
Well, not if we have road plans and stuff ready to go. But
so heartburn is pretty simple as far as that goes, okay? The heartburn is that there was absolutely no clear plan represented in any of the board meetings. It was a thought process, but there was not a clear, concise, budgeted out plan of what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, what's it going to cost, who's going to do it, and all the rest of that. It was given to a community to do, and it ended up being something that it was never discussed and never agreed upon by the board. That is no way to operate any business. I'm sorry, I ran businesses for 40 years, and we never took off onto just some, we're just going to build a car. Well, what are we going to build? Well, I don't know, but we're going to build it. Well, what's it going to cost? I haven't a clue, but we're going to build it.
Well, that's where I come back to say that the board is not in the business of building roads and never is going to be. The board is not in the business of funding a road and is never going to be. The board made a commitment to put $2,000 toward that project. That's it.
And so it absolutely should do that.
The board also gave us approval to go ahead with our contractor that we were hiring at our expense.
Okay.
So it ain't none of the board's business how much money we spent, how much gravel we put down on that road, because you ain't paying for it. We didn't.
Well, except that the board did. Now, hang on. Come out. You just made a statement. We ain't paying for it. Well, yeah, the board did pay for 800 yards of gravel.
No. That was a.
Or actually, decision. 700 yards of screened gravel.
It was just a decision to use it while it was sitting there just to get the project done. Because the project has been going on for a year and a half. We just wanted to get it done. If we needed to replace it, we'll replace it.
Well, so here's my 2 cents on the whole project. So Michael brought up a fact. There was $2,000 that was allocated partially to be fair because the board gave $2,000 to Broad Hollow
to
Johnny Brown. They increased it to $2,000 and allocated it so that we had kind of a precedence was set over there. So they felt like a precedence needed to be fair to you guys in order to do that. The concern is, how do we, I mean, things went way above and beyond wherever it needs to be done. I don't think anybody says that the work that was done was bad. I mean, everybody likes a new road, but now what are we going to do if Slide wants to have work done or done something similar?
Exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Get together, figure out how to fund it, and we will contribute what we can.
So, the precedent was set for $2,000. So, just to kind of settle this whole thing, I mean, right now, what is being asked is that $2,000 be reimbursed as originally was agreed upon, and Mike says he's okay if it goes to Larry based off of, I mean.
I don't want to send it to an individual of the ranch without receipts. If a contractor submits a bill, that's one thing we can talk about. Yes, do we pay it? No, do we not? But when an individual emails Danielle or me and says, I'd like some money.
Me too.
I do too. I'd like to dig into that.
Well, there needs to be accountability. And, well, I think there was miscommunication because I was thought that some of that money was going to come out of the fuel, but I don't know that we need to get into all of that. But well, we clearly need to set an expectation of when people come back and we do this in the future, what is the process? What's the documentation? And
yes. Yeah.
Is where we, okay. So just to be clear.
So during the meetings that Kevin's talking about, John had said, and he's the road guy, that Deer Springs Ranch could give us gravel over the next couple of years. So what is the definition of that? We use it all right now. Cool. So what's the next couple of years? So if we go screen gravel and we put it back, next year, the SROA is going to reimburse us for our cost to screen that gravel, right? Because we don't need it next year because we already used it.
Why would BSR reimburse you for a product you already got?
And then the next year after that.
Well, so let's go back. So right now I think there's two items that are at hand right now. There's a $2,000 reimbursement that you guys were asking for, but there was also, by my calculations, about $4,000 worth of gravel that's been used. So we've got two issues at hand.
Do you want the gravel back or not?
That's what we've got to decide. So, again...
What I'm saying is those were two separate things. So if you go back and listen to those recorded meetings, those were two separate things.
Well, but the gravel was going to be done on Meadow Canyon, which hasn't been done. The gravel
requested
the gravel
Meadow Canyon be handled because our road now is nice, but come winter, we can't get to it.
Yeah, so that was...
didn't handle the Meadow Canyon part of the program.
I don't remember Meadow Canyon being discussed or approved or anything.
Correct. We said, can you guys do this? If we do this, we'll even provide our labor to work on Meadow Canyon, but nothing's ever happened.
Well, and I think things got dropped with John and everything that happened there. There was a discussion that Meadow Canyon could be addressed over a two-year period, so I think we're on the same page there. But what's not clear to me is what gravel was committed to the Broad Hollow project.
Because what was committed was we could provide gravel over the next couple of years.
For Meadow Canyon.
No, Broad Hollow. Culverts, $2,000 for fuel, and gravel over the next...
But that wasn't voted on and agreed upon as a proposal. The only thing that was actually voted on that I heard in the meetings was the $2,000 for gas.
Right. And you said about the gravel because that's what he did.
So we don't have a commitment necessarily for that. So, again, outstanding... there's a request for $2,000 for fuel, but then there's also $4,000 worth of gravel that's been done, and either the board has to agree and say, we're okay with $6,000 being spent on this project because it was a great project and it met our needs, or we've got to come to some sort of agreement that settles everything. So what, I guess going back to you guys, what are you expecting? Are you wanting the gravel included at this point in sign and saying that we don't want to pay for the gravel because it was on board roads or on ranch roads.
I don't think it would be unreasonable
and
for DSROA to have
contributed the gravel
$6,000 into that road that we also invested $15,000
But at this point right now, you forced our hands.
Yeah, because you've already taken it.
Said, if you want the gravel back, we'll put the gravel back.
No, that's not what I'm saying. At this point, you forced our hands. It's not a choice anymore. It's a demand. That's my struggle here, is it was just done. Now, like I said 2 minutes ago, what was done there is fantastic. I have no problem with it. But you did get the benefits, and we'll have to move on. I'm not worried about it. I already said that I'm okay paying the $2,000 in fuel to a contractor. I'm not okay writing a check to a member that didn't bring receipts of where the money went. That's it. It's nothing more than that.
So but for the $2,000, but what about the $4,000 in gravel? Do we have?
I'm gonna.
The gravel can be imaginary pile. It can still be there. It just needs to be put back as you need it.
Is that something you guys wanted?
Said you wanted to be reimbursed for the money to screen the gravel to put it back.
The only reason I said that is because I'm trying to get clarification over what the next couple of years means.
Well, what is going to be the cost of diesel fuel in 2027?
So,
do we know that? Is it going to be $6.70 a yard, or is it going to be $9.80 a yard?
No idea.
I don't have a clue either. But the bottom line is everything costs money. And when you're running a business, the bottom line is the bottom line. I don't care how you get there. It's going to cost somebody somewhere money to screen the gravel to replace what went in the road that was not approved by the previous board to be put on that road. It's that simple. I'm great. I'm glad the road got done. It's a great road. Did it need to get done? Absolutely. Do all of the roads out here need attention? Inarguably. But there was a whole lot of discussion that was had about this project that was crystal clear, and you can't claim ignorance or stupidity or I didn't hear or any of the rest of it. I went and looked at it. I knew that there was no gravel committed to this project. I knew that the culverts were. I knew that the fuel was capped by Larry in the vote at $2,000. I didn't need to go back and review it, but I did so I would have a crystal clear understanding of just exactly what happened and how it happened. You know, now, whether is it right, wrong, or indifferent that the board didn't have the funds at that moment to assist you guys on the road? I don't know. You know, is it right, wrong, or indifference that everything doesn't get done out here in the way we would like it, as soon as we would like it, at the budget we would like it? No one's ever going to be happy, but there's no way that any group can take it upon themselves to hire a contractor, no matter who that contractor is, and then use assets that are unapproved. That's the issue.
Well, that's,
you know, and then it's going to be, you know, great. We can put the pile of gravel back.
What was the pile of gravel for?
What
was the pile of gravel for?
It was for ranch
roads. So where did it go?
Okay, it's for
ranch. On a ranch road, yay or nay?
A main artery.
Okay, but regardless of where it went, the board did not decide, and the road person was not consulted. I mean, granted, a president and Larry were consulted, but nobody else was consulted, and nothing else was approved. So I think that's...
Well, that's not completely accurate, because John was the road guy, and he's the one that committed the funds and gravel.
Now, the board committed the $2,000, right? So just to kind of – I don't know if we need to take this in pieces or not, but $2,000, I think everybody's kind of – that's already been agreed upon. Maybe it didn't go exactly for the fuel that we want to do, but if we pay the $2,000, are we – I mean – I think the gravel's another question, and maybe we could settle them both out. And maybe we just give the gravel instead of the fuel. What are you wanting at this point in time?
I think the simplest solution is the ranch paid $2,000 toward fuel, the gravel pile get put back, and everybody forget about it, and it'll sit there until somebody puts it somewhere.
Well, but
they can put it wherever they want.
But Larry, you're kind of the one that helps decide where with my consultation.
And we're in the doghouse for it.
The road is about, the gravel's no longer available for the more important piece of road work that was earmarked to be done with that gravel.
So when's it getting done? Where's the plan that you were talking about?
Well, here's the road director right here.
That's what we've got to come up with. I've only been on for a month, so I mean, we can find use for the gravel if we get that gravel back.
Well, we could.
But
we also had a...
When there is a plan, the gravel can be made at that time.
And that will be provided no cost to the ranch. Is that what you guys are saying?
No, I'll go screen it tomorrow.
Again, no cost to the ranch. Okay. So
if that's what you want, that's what we need to know. You want the pile of gravel put back, we'll put the pile of gravel back.
Okay, so, well, again, we're asking what you guys wanted too, but... I
already said I don't think it's unreasonable for the ranch to have supplied that gravel and write Larry a check for $2,000. That's not unreasonable.
Okay, so we can put that up for discussion as well, I guess. And we've got Larry and Brent. Are you guys out of the vote?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it wouldn't be really appropriate for us to.
So there's four of us. So all four of us have got to agree on something.
How much is the gravel?
It's about $4,000. $4,500 worth of gravel.
Well, there's no question. 815 yards of pit run no one cares about. I'm perfectly happy that that went in the road. My question is, there was $4,000 of unapproved expense to the ranch.
So let's put it back and forget about it. How's that?
That's fine.
Okay.
Well,
solved.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's fair for Larry to shoulder that expense.
I won't.
I'll pay for it.
I'm going to make Jeff.
Well, just
Derek will be your laborer. We'll be sitting in the night.
It's already been decided by the Broad Hollow Coalition. We will cover putting that gravel back, the expense of it.
Okay. Well, again, I think just for future reference, back to the whole process and procedure of everything, I think those kind of things need to be approved in a project. Back to the point that was brought up before is,
they thought it was.
But it was by John a year ago.
I don't think it was as clearly. No. Go back and listen to this.
He said, we can supply you gravel.
That wasn't part of the discussions of possible things that they could do, but I don't think it was officially stated and a motion made and the board approved. I mean, maybe.
Gravel's never been voted on by the board. John always just made decisions, go put gravel there, go put gravel there.
Because he's the road guy.
Because he was the road guy.
That's his position.
So gravel was never, ever voted on the board.
Time out. Kurt, if you had to make a culvert repair right now, would you have the spring gravel to make that with?
I don't know.
There's none over there.
Well, there's a small pile. Yeah,
there's still material there.
Enough.
Maybe one repair. But
that's the whole point. There are things that happen that our ranch manager needs the assets available to him without having to go do more than he already has to do.
Part of the problem, Kevin, is, though, that has been available since June of 2021.
Right. Well, and it goes back to, we need to have plans for whatever gravel we have. I mean, to your point, we don't need necessarily 100 yards of gravel or 100 whatever, 400,000 yards waiting there in reserve, but we do need to be able to do projects and plan projects and have it ready for the projects.
So our spring gravel, it was years without spring gravel. No piles available.
The board before this one started the process of putting together a work order flow where projects would be requested, go through this process, get it all documented, laid out, and I think that just needs to be...
We need to formalize that.
...and implemented, so it's there on paper, everyone understands it's not
where it's being allocated to and what it needs to be done. Again, nobody's debating that it needed to be put on ranch roads and should have been done, but my concern is now Slide Canyon's going to come up and say we want a $2,000 contribution, and then they're going to come grab 100 yards or 1,000 yards of gravel and say we need to have it done. And it wasn't clearly documented exactly what your what was committed. And the only thing we've found that could be committed to it is the $2,000 towards...
Yeah, but it's not that simple, because we spent a year formulating this whole plan.
Year and a half.
Putting it through the board, them discussing it, all that stuff. So if Slide Canyon wants to do the same thing over the next year, putting together a plan, talking to all their neighbors, getting their own funding, approaching the board with it, and go through all the same garbage that we went through,
so
go for it.
Go back and listen. And when I asked... How much culverts? How much gravel? What is your base plan? The only response I got was there's too much snow. We'll have to get back.
Right.
Did you ever come back?
We didn't know.
The first time.
We thought that Larry and John were going to get together and go walk the road.
Because the Broad Hollow is hollow.
So we assumed before they gave us a...
My point is there's enough miscommunication going on. There's fault on both sides. Let's move on.
And awareness of the project. So I want to make a motion, and you guys can vote yes, yay, or nay, just so we know where it's at. There's only four of us that can vote. But I'd like to motion that we just leave everything that's been done be approved, and just so we get a vote on it, you can say yay or nay. Let's do this. Motion that we pay the $2,000 to Larry and consider that done.
I don't think that needs a motion. The board already agreed to pay that $2,000. I'm okay paying it. As the treasurer, I'm okay paying it to the contractor that did the work.
Okay, so the $2,000 is going to be paid.
$2,000 is done.
No, for the gravel... Do we expect the gravel to be replaced or not?
As a board member, outside of being the contractor and involved, blah, 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 I think the gravel either has to be paid for or replaced. Mm-hmm. As a contractor and working with them, that was my comment, was we can continue nibbling away at this, and I can produce green gravel
in a timely manner,
but it takes all day to produce a couple of truckloads, and all day to produce a couple of truckloads, and we need to get a ton of truckloads to get done. If we use this gravel
and replace it,
we're either going to have to
pay for it or replace
pay for it or replace it. And they said, fine, let's do it and get move on. So I don't think that's an issue or a problem. The big heartburn is
how much of that was going to be part of the contribution?
To the ranch. When gravel's produced, it needs to be used somewhere. It can't just sit there in a pile for 2 years.
Play and sand wash away. And leave just the rock.
Which is what you like, right?
A bulk of that road is simply straight up bank run gravel, which is just about as good. In my opinion, it's better than the screen. If I were building a road that was for me, I wouldn't put any screen rock on it, period.
Unless it's crushed.
Unless it's crushed. But I would still put down 6 to 8 inches or a foot of pit run stuff first and then top it with crushed because that's nice and fluffy. And
you don't have the big rocks. Yeah.
The big rocks are a benefit. Yep. The only reason they're going to not sink out of sight coming in and out of Broad Hollow is because of the big rocks.
Well, they're a benefit if they're 6 inches under the ground. If
they're a benefit if they're right at the surface.
Yeah, riprap's a way better product.
Okay, so we've already agreed to the 2,000, and yeah, as a board member, so everybody's in agreement that they'll replace?
Yeah, either replace it or pay for it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think Larry said it best.
In what kind of time frame, just so that it's clear, as we need it, or?
So the Meadow Canyon project is on the roads project, and there's that Excel spreadsheet. I don't know if I've sent it to you that we put together
before
March last year.
Okay.
March this year. If that is our next section that you want to focus on is roads, I mean, there's a lot of work that needs to be done there before gravel's put down. To Larry's point, I'd rather not see it screened until
we're ready for it.
We're getting close to it, simply due to the fact that the top layer all washes, the sand and the silt, and everything washes out, and you're left with nothing.
Well, at the same time, they're not going to want to spend the next 5 years screening gravel either. They're going to want to have a time commitment to get it done.
That's your department. I'm going to leave that up to you.
Okay. Well, we'll work to try and get it used in a timely manner, I guess, is the key. So it sounds like the decision, again, motion and whatever, do we just need to make a decision that we're going to pay the $2,000 to Larry, and
we don't need to make a motion. Sorry.
That's already approved, and yeah, and then but for the gravel, the Broad Hollow are either going to pay or replace that gravel.
My opinion is the pile should be replaced rather than come up with cash money to pay. Nobody has.
What's an adequate pile to have for the winter? What do you guys need out there for the winter? And can we get that screen?
No.
You never use any.
Don't use it during the winter?
You can't do it in the winter.
It's too frozen.
You can't pull out of it. But so you guys didn't do any repairs using any of that?
It's not there all winter.
All winter.
It's covered in snow, and it's just in the way.
So we don't need to screen it until next year?
Unless that part of Meadow Canyon you're talking about is going to get done tomorrow.
Which,
you don't need to screen it right away.
It's not going to get done.
It needs to be done, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It can be nice, yeah.
But I mean, that was supposed to be a 2-year project.
It's a mess. Just like you guys. We have to drive through it, too.
Yeah, and it's going to be soupy, swampy if we don't do anything with it.
That section's not going to be a quick, easy fix. It's got to be lifted because of the drainage.
Yeah, the metals on each side are higher than the road.
Yes.
So it's,
well, so one other question that I guess kind of ties into this. Looking at the road budget, we're about halfway through the road budget so far this year, but are there any unpaid invoices or anything to you, Larry,
I do have a few hours because I cleaned up from the pit to Broad Hollow on Metal Canyon. I bladed that quite a bit because it was a miserable mess.
Yeah,
so
way better now.
I've got a handful of hours. I did one day and three another day grading that.
John mentioned that you had to re-clean out the up by the forest gate. Is there a charge coming for that, or is that?
No. Well, I should say either I'm going to keep all the gravel I dug out, or if the ranch wants that gravel, they need to pay me to dig it out.
So I will tell you, there's some really good stuff.
Good gravel out of that.
Well, that's like one thing gravel. I need to talk with you about is it. That's the perfect material to put on. There's a stretch of road going over into Crawford that has nothing on it because it's a dirt road I just created 2 years ago. And that's the perfect. I would have just trucked it down here and piled it back in a pile, and then you'd have had a big pile of 1,000 yards of better material than what we stole for Broad Hollow. But why truck everything from that end of the ranch to this end and this end of the ranch to that end?
And just use it.
It just needs to be used up there close.
Larry stole's an ugly word. Procure.
Yeah. I like to steal.
Remove the safety hazard.
So, with, I mean, bringing that up, does that material need to stay up there if we have to lift that road for the wash line for coming out? Are we going to be able to fix that wash line?
I think the solution, the reason it filled like that was, so I had gone upstream and cleaned down to the real true ditched level.
Yeah.
But that left our fence and our plugged culverts had backed up and silted full a mile.
Oh, yeah.
Up into the forest. I only cleaned out a couple hundred yards down to the true stream bed. And then that big downpour that we had in August carried, you know, that upstream kind of just brought it down and settled in.
And half the road up.
Yeah.
So,
if I can clean it out more and procure from the forest side, that's good material and can go on the road up there.
Well, that's what I was thinking. We may, if we have to crown that section and raise that gate and get our flow line higher.
We'll want the material up there.
I mean, you know more way than I do. So if you think we can get it from above.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Well, yeah, you and I need to get together after and go over projects and prioritization that way. But back to the road budget scenario, we're... There's not any outstanding invoices and stuff that way. And are there any of those projects you have time to get before the snow flies?
I thought the earth was going to end today at about 10:30 when
the sun... Like
I cleared my schedule. It all depends on how fast the winter catches us. I mean, I've still got a couple of projects I'm trying to finish off.
Well, I guess we can discuss that offline. So, right now, is everything settled with the Broad Hollow?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know.
You got questions or concerns?
If the gravel was used for private driveways or private areas, you need to fill them. If it's going on ranch roads, what's the gravel for? It's for ranch roads. I mean, whether it's on... You know, who's paying for the gravel for Meadow Canyon?
We are, because we're going to put it all back.
let's say you paid for that. Who's paying for the gravel for Meadow Canyon Road? Nobody.
But
the ranch is picking it up because it's the main.
Our dues.
Right. Yeah. So I think that, why are you billing them? It's a ranch road. It's not they're putting on their private yard. I don't know.
Well, again, the only concern I have is that we don't have material for other projects that we might need and getting...
I at least pay for half of it. I don't even drive on...
Well, here's the other thing. When they said, is Broad Hollow done? It's really not. It's really not. There still needs to be, in my opinion, what John committed to of supplying some gravel this year and some... Every area of the ranch should be receiving... Believe it or not, we lose gravel every year. Rainstorms, crazy drivers, snow plowing. You're losing road surface every year. It should be being replaced every year in some form or another, which we don't. We build a road, whatever, 25 years ago, Meadow Canyon got graveled, and we expect it to be a eternal road.
Yeah, but if you go to put gravel on it, you don't sit there and, hey, I need a, you guys got to chip in $1,000 each to put this gravel on this road because you drive on it. I think it should be paid for by the.
Well, except for a lot of, I think the only complaint right now is that a lot of focus was given to that. Granted, they put a lot of money into it.
Well, that's great for us. Anybody that wants to travel that road, that's great that you guys put that.
Put the extra focus in and to make it happen.
At least we can supply the gravel for it. I think that's, I don't know.
My only complaint is it's not the way you handle things.
Well, maybe they didn't do it the proper way, but still, the bottom line is John did say he's.
Well, but we can't keep on doing it the not proper way. And I think that's what we've got to set up a process and procedure to make it happen. So
I think what was brought up also when they were discussing this with the board was like areas like Slide Canyon. There were people in Slide Canyon.
I haven't seen any gravel.
Any gravel put on over here ever. So why is all the gravel going to go to this area? Are we going to put some gravel on Slide Canyon? Is there any gravel on Slide Canyon now?
Well, the difference is Broad Hollow paid to get it home.
Right. And paid, what, how much you guys paid? $20,000 or?
Right, but at the same time, our budget, back to Larry's point, our budget doesn't have, I don't know, and I'm not familiar enough with it when you've got to discuss some of the plans, so I don't know.
The ranch budget, the way it's set up now, and always has been, just a minimal maintenance budget. So any, what I would call a capital improvement, has got to be shouldered by each area, neighborhood. If they want, if Slide Canyon area wants an improvement over just an old dirt ranch road, that's what it was. That's what it's always going to be unless they cut together one specific road or another specific road, fund the improvement. The ranch can't.
Well, and that's where my concern is we're setting a precedent. So the first precedent was $1,500. To contribute with whatever you guys are doing. Next precedence was 2,000.
Part of the difference was that Podunk is 27 lots.
And they have their own gravel.
And they have their own gravel, but it's not an arterial road. You go to Podunk, that's your destination. Broad Hollow is a connector. There's only one other road, ranch road, that's more major thoroughfare, and that's Meadow Canyon.
When we were hauling,
well, on slide.
15 different cars slide. Came through. I had to pull over 15 different times to let cars go through.
That word neighborhood is an important concept, and I like what I've been hearing from different board members about that process. And I think once neighborhoods can be established by consensus, then the whole process of what is the ranch going to contribute and what are the members of a particular neighborhood going to contribute can be more formalized. And to avoid misunderstandings about who was going to do what.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've heard this neighborhood concept now, especially, you know, from Dave and Brent. And I think it's a great idea. And which needs to be developed. Obviously, right now it's just an idea.
Mike McNichols on 279 says, "This is Mike M. in Slide Canyon, and when I go to the ponds and back with my grandkids, I also use that road. It is a benefit to me just as much as it is to the owners of Broad Hollow."
Another point.
If anything, you should shine on the fuel charge. 21,
it was in 21's budget, not 23's budget. Yeah. So it's already been paid for a long time.
Well, again, so we're back to hashing over the same. We've already agreed to the $2,000. I mean, I'm fine putting it to a vote of not requesting you guys. I mean, you've got a valid point. It was put on ranch roads. my only concern is the precedence that's being set and not having a way to back to your point, not being able to manage it. But is fair.
Part of the problem will be alleviated. Had I produced material on hand, would we have used ranch material? Absolutely not. But because of the timing, it's aggravating to be trying to do a project when there's material sitting there that has sat there for 2 years untouched. But you can't use it because one day.
Well, I don't even think of it as that. To me, if you guys
hauled it off, guess what? How much of it would be sitting there today?
Well,
100% of it. How much would be sitting there next month? 100% of it.
Again,
how much would be sitting there next March? 100% of it.
But if you guys had come to the board last meeting and said, "Hey, we want to use this," and we all had an opportunity to vote on it and say yes, it's good to go, then we wouldn't even have this discussion.
No.
We
would
vote no.
It's a different board. Since we brought this up, it's been like a wall. We've been trying to break through this wall. We're saying, look, we're going to put a buttload of money into your guys' road.
So you just said,
we don't get an appreciation. We don't get anything except a wall. We're running into a wall. Every time we turn around, it seems like it's a freaking wall.
So you forced our hand, back to his point. You're forcing the board's hand, to some extent, back
it's
to that
a real
point.
It's simple principle. Let's take gravel out of it. Let's call it fuel. Because it's still an expense. It was paid for last year. Bottom line is, if you go over there and you burn every ounce of gasoline out of that thing without an authorization, is that right?
No.
Thank you. I mean, it wasn't budgeted. It wasn't committed to the project. There's your answer. I'm sorry.
Should we have committed it to the project is a different story. You know, could you have brought it to this board and would the board had a different opinion? I don't know. But so how do we table this?
I think it's already been approved. So
the bottom line is that is going to be replaced somehow between the two of you guys. And if the board doesn't keep really close track of it. I mean, how are we going to measure that you're getting it done? I don't know that we're going to.
You'll see a big pile sitting there. You can go measure it, pet it, and tap it, and rub it, and lick it, and roll around in it.
I don't think we
can. Put some pier run on that section of road up there would be way better than just having a gravel pile.
You spend the time and the effort with Larry's help to go put material down on Meadow Canyon. We don't care how we do it.
The Meadow Canyon between the gravel pit and Broad Hollow is more important than having a pile sitting there, but I don't make the road decisions and I don't make the budget.
But we already invest or committed our time to be laborers to fix Meadow Canyon also.
That would be a great thing to see happen.
Okay, so let's take it with this. Just end the meeting and get it done and over with. We were already committed to the 2000. That's going to go to Larry. Larry and I will get together. We will prioritize the other road projects and see how we can best use gravel so that we don't have gravel sitting there, and we'll try and get something prioritized based on what we think we can accomplish. And if we need your help, we'll try and involve that in with the Broad Hollow people as well and get back to you.
One question, Larry, you're going to work on this. Are you going to get paid for it?
You need to.
So, to replace that gravel, is are you doing that as a member or as a contractor?
Oh, yeah, you got a lot.
I am replacing the gravel that we stole. I didn't procure.
Words matter.
There's a big difference between retail price that Deer Springs paid for that pile of gravel and the cost to replace that pile of gravel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get into any. We way overpaid for what we had there in the pile, so I'm not overly concerned.
Okay.
Mike McNichol says, I will personally write a check to DSRA for $2,000 if that will allow us to move on.
I'm holding him to that. Mike started
beating the dead horse. Dan,
it's not dollars. It's not dollars. It's time.
Well, dollars are time. So.
Well, yeah.
Time is not dollars. I can steal dollars from you and anybody in here. I can't steal time. Time is, you can borrow money, you can make money, you can fake money, you can counterfeit money, you can steal money. Try that with time. Any of those things. You can.
Come spring, you have my time to help replace it.
And I say let's move on.
Do we have any other agenda items? Where are we at?
Are we done?
We're done.
Okay. Did anyone have comments regarding Bart's water section?
I'm covering Bart's water section. Gary,
yes, sir.
Thank you for being patient.
You're welcome.
All right. I told Bart that I'd cover his area. The only thing we have to report to you is that the waiver's been presented to Paul Wright, the regional engineer, and we still have not heard back from him. And so, I mean, I've tried to keep you as informed as I could.
Thank you.
And we went through multiple processes. We've talked to Terry Smith at the Rural Water Users. Anyway, it became a real process. And now we're just waiting to hear. So
it doesn't surprise me. Is there any indication? Have they given you any indication as to 6 weeks, 8 weeks?
They have nothing. The way Paul put it is, I put it in my queue for consideration. You know, I mean, to me, that's like putting in your printing queue and just waiting for it to come up. So we really don't know. Well, as soon as we get a chance, you'll hear as soon as I do.
All right. Well, then it does impact me, but it doesn't in regards to what is the position of Deer Springs Ranch and the penalties that were going to be assessed if this wasn't done.
Look at my car. The penalty we could be assessed is rather massive. It was something like $15,000 a day or something like that. And so we're going to have to do it. We have no choice.
But we're not being penalized while it's under their review.
No. There's no, right now we made the good faith effort. We submitted a plan and then they said, okay, the process, for lack of a better term, fine process, has stopped. Once they give us the go ahead or tell us we've got to modify, then at that point in time they're probably going to start the clock again on getting something done. So that.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay. Bart wanted this brought up because it's going to be. It's a board issue and it's a member issue. Jeff Mickelson is going to be leaving us next year. He's talking about going on a mission and a couple of things. And so we are going to need to find a certified water operator replacement. And Bart is a certified water operator and he's willing to assume the role. But because he's a board member and because it's a compensated position, he wanted to bring it up just in case any of the members. Bob, would you be interested in being the certified water operator? Okay. Anyway, if any of the members might be interested in becoming the certified water operator, we'll put it out, you know, if you want to do it. The compensation is not great, but it is a compensated position. Okay. But in addition to Jeff being the certified water operator, he's also the cross-connect and control administrator. And that's another position that someone could either assume that role or Bart can find somebody that we will have to pay. It's not like a full-time thing. Just every so often they got to come out and do a review. We just pay them when they came to do it. And then the same thing goes with the backflow prevention. Is Dale still here?
No, I think he left.
Okay. You happen to know what's going on with Dale's well-filled proposal? He was going to have an engineer look at Half Moon Well and talk about and
make recommendations.
I know he has talked with Clough that have been drilling a well for him about doing something or being available to do something if we choose to, but he was having some engineering firm do something. I don't know anything of what they came up with. Or
right, yeah, that was the question. Now, he was going to go Half Moon was
right.
The real main focus. He was also talking about the irrigation well out here in the well field.
I talked to him a little about that, but I said my understanding was that we really can't or shouldn't do anything with that old well because it's within the protection zone of the new well.
Yes, within the source protection zone.
So I don't know whether I convinced him to forget about that one or what.
Okay, but you don't know the status on that Half Moon. Okay,
I'll try to find out.
All right. And then Bart's going to – we're going to have a water committee meeting here to discuss irrigation for next year. If there's any new members with water experience or desire to get onto the water committee, speak now. And hopefully you will. And that's all the water stuff, unless there's a question, which I can't answer.
Yeah.
What is the compensation for the Mickelson position?
It is $400 a month, and that includes him paying all the fees and training and certifications.
Yeah, how much is it?
$400.
That's it.
$400 a month, man. It's a real good deal.
You can retire on that.
I'm retired already. So, no, I believe me, I was not asking that because I wanted the position.
Believe me. A little short this week? Or can help you out? Yeah.
The certified water operator, it's there's a lot of training involved. There's a lot of continuous training involved. There's taking water samples involved. There's doing and he has to do special.
So Bart is willing to do that for $400 a month?
Yes.
Sounds like a deal to me.
All in favor, say aye.
Yeah. Well, like I say, if there's anybody else who's interested, Bob.
$400? Wow.
You'd only have to drive up from California to take care of this stuff. Anyway, okay. That's all the water stuff.
But are you gonna post that? Send an email.
We will post it. We'll post it on the website.
Yeah, I think there's several positions that might need to have postings.
Yeah, so.
I guess we move on to cabin pools. Do you have any closing remarks?
As far as infrastructure, the cabins are due to be closed in the next few days, which will be the uppers. And then 6, 9, and 10 down here will be closed. As far as I know, 7, 8, and the garden cabin will remain open till right after Thanksgiving. Cindy has left the ranch and as well as the work camper, so there are now no more people taking care of the cabins at this point. So if you're going to be in a cabin, I would highly suggest be prepared to do some cleaning yourself and we'll catch what we can. So, and then there probably is going to be changes to how all that's going to be handled, but at the moment, it's too fresh to even have a plan for anything, and that's something that we will be working on.
Kevin, are we going to close the comfort stop at the same time we close 6,
yes.
9, and 10?
Yeah, that's okay. As far as I know, that will be closed because we don't need this stuff freezing down here either.
Exactly.
That's bad. So.
You did get my email about the temperatures, the various temperatures, which
yes,
freeze.
Yes, I did. Okay. Yeah, yeah. About what kind of a safe margin on the different cabins? Yeah, I did get that.
Okay.
And I think the protocols that we set last year are solid. It's really not worth the trying to reopen a cabin for $100 fee and risk a freeze or something like that in the wintertime. It's just kind of calamity, really.
So. Can you describe what it takes to shut down a typical cabin for the winter?
draining and blowing out all the air lines or water lines with air, so there's no chance of freeze breaking the pipes. Then we have to pour antifreeze in all of the different drains. You have to drain the water heaters so that there's no freeze damage to those. I'm not sure of all the different processes. Plus, generally speaking, all the linens are removed, the towels are removed, all the bedding is removed, the pillows and different items that stay in the cabins are put into containers and put into storage. The mattresses are turned on their sides to keep our furry little friends from making a happy little home. There's quite a bit of work involved in shutting all the cabins down. So
the big thing, Dan, is at the upper cabins, not only do we have to blow the water out of each of the cabins, we have to blow the entire water system, the water line. We drain the entire water line and we blow it out.
You mean the water lines to the cabins?
To feed the
water
cabins.
Water lines to the cabins.
Down off the hill.
Down off the hill. Everything is drained because, well, the new water line that goes to the 10,000-gallon tank is deep enough. It won't freeze. But all the water lines distributing out to the various cabins, they're within a foot of the surface at best. So,
Larry, do you have any additional comments?
Next Friday night, the northern gate will be locked. The rifle hunt, deer hunt begins Saturday, a week from today, I believe. Is that
Yeah.
So we're locking that gate. Do you have a lock?
We're going to use the lock. Where's Kurt? We're going to use the
backhoe back there.
Okay.
Okay.
But you have the one.
Yeah, we have the one. We have the one lock, and we've got a couple of keys for it.
Okay. So just for everybody's information, that will be locked through that beginning weekend, and then we'll probably unlock it on Tuesday or Wednesday of the following week. We're not going to keep it locked the entire. The hunt goes through the end of the month till November 1st. But it's that initial weekend traffic that we kind of try to discourage.
Essentially the 20th to like the 25th.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a plan we decided on.
Two or three people have reported to me that they thought they saw an otter, which is not an otter, it's a beaver, swimming in pond number two. So if anybody has reports of that or sees it, let me know. I trapped one, but it must have had a buddy or somebody else moved into the area. As cute as they can be, they're very detrimental and dangerous to our ponds. We don't want to get them established. So, other than that, I haven't checked the slash pile lately, but I kept it pushed down. If anybody's hauling slash and gets to a point where it's stacking up, let me know. He loves to haul that stuff. Well, I don't know where he's getting it all. His lot would be bare clean.
It almost is. He's doing all kinds of stuff.
He's dropping mistletoe trees and all kinds of trees.
When was the last time you pushed it in, Larry?
What's that?
When was the last time you pushed it in?
It's been... I don't think I've pushed it since I came back from Alaska.
And you probably need to...
You better go check it.
Yeah, because loads were getting right up to the edge.
I was trying to sneak from over. I was doing work for Roland Bean over at his property, and there's a road that most people don't even know about that goes through Deer Springs, Washington, up back side of the Half Moon Reservoir. But the new fence that got put in there failed to put a gate in there, so I had to come back all the way around. But I was going to hike down through there and look at it, but I just ran out. Actually, I was just about asphyxiated by the sagebrush, ragweed, and bloom. Man, I went through there and got enough of that in my throat and nose that I didn't think I was going to make it back to town. Needed some of Danielle's good.
She's got the good stuff, huh?
You involved in drugs?
Asthmatic.
Oh, okay.
Since when did they start putting asthma medicine in these little white, then
smoke comes off.
Yeah.
He's your father.
Not at this meeting, he's not. Okay, Bart's not here. Michael, do you have any other comments?
Website revamp is coming along. We've got about one third of it
remapped to the new site. The new site isn't public until I get it all remapped. And all redone. I won't take the old site down and bring the new one up, but it is coming slowly. That's it.
Your plan for a new picture of cabin?
Currently, no. I'm just mapping everything over into the new format and trying to get rid of all of the old web page forms that are causing us to pay more for GoDaddy than we should. Once we get that out of there, that we can reduce our costs there a little bit. But yes, we can absolutely put new pictures and stuff. I'm just trying to get things mapped over to the new pages to start with.
Do you know if pictures were ever taken?
Yes, there's actually some video and stuff of the cabins, the two that...
I know the video's been done, but like to put on the reservation site, I think it'd be better to have updated. I think that's just more what she's talking about.
Yeah, I can put, if somebody wants to get me pictures for the cabins or the reservation site, I can put those up tomorrow. So if anybody wants to send me any pictures that they think should be on the reservation site.
Well, we probably need to, if we're going to take pictures before they're closed down or shut down, as part of shutting down.
Or do it as part of spring, either way. I'm happy to put them up.
We just need to get somebody to take them, I think. Because I think Cindy was going to do that at one point, but I don't know that it ever got...
I
just need to get somebody assigned to do it.
But yes, new pictures can be done.
Nothing further.
Nothing further.
Newsletter. Okay. We're going by the end of the... I promise that by the end of this next week, meaning a week from today, we will have a newsletter being, we'll have put together a newsletter for editing. What's her name again?
Kelsey
Butcher. Yeah. Anyway, so if we get the articles into her by the end of the week, then she'll have something for the end of the month. So anybody who's got anything they want to put in there, members included, get it to me. I'll get it to her, and then she'll edit it and get it.
What if I put a post on Facebook asking for submissions
to perfect.
The DSROA email, and then I can...
Oh, that'd be better. Yeah. Thanks, family. Move.
I know he's going to send them to you afterwards. Delete.
Anyway, so that's all I got.
Quick open forum for members if they have any additional questions.
Please don't. Amen.
Going once,
I make
going
the motion
twice.
To close.
Okay. Next meeting is this November 11th.
Oh, that Larry's always on the ball.
Veterans Day.
November 11th.
Okay, and that'll be a Zoom meeting, I assume, unless the weather's really nice.
Oh, I got one thing. Oh. Just real quick. Byron's family just wanted to express their gratitude to everybody that reached out to them when Bi was in his needs, and they're real grateful for what the ranch did for Byron. And they're going to try and have maybe a gig. We want to have a big deal of life, maybe January, July 4th next year. But they just wanted to say thank you for everything. Everybody that reached out to them. So, anyway, okay.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
So is November 11th?
Can we plan to have it in person unless the weather says we need to do Zoom instead of the other way?
That's okay with me. I don't know about the others.
I'm okay with that.
Isn't the November meeting the budget meeting?
Yes, yes.
It would almost be better to have it in Zoom where
we can see stuff on the screen.
Screen share budgets. That's just my 2 cents.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with either way, but I'll make a decision and say I'm okay with the... I'll go with Danielle.
That does make sense.
I would love to be here, but it's kind of hard to do numbers.
I hate Zoom.
But it does make sense for that meeting, I think.
So. I hate Zoom meetings because it's a meeting. I like the Zoom part. That sounds cool.
Let's go fast. So, are we...
Adjourned, yep.
Seconded.
You seconded it. So.
Okay.